President Duterte warns Filipinos the presence of new COVID-19 variants could wipe out gains in the country's fight against the pandemic. A vaccine apartheid, that's how the World Health Organization is describing the imbalance in COVID-19's vaccine supply between rich and poor nations. Palace officials advise President Duterte to ignore critics whom they accuse of milking the maritime row with China for publicity. We'll be getting a reaction on Malacanang's latest statements on the West Philippine Sea issue from House National Defense and Security Committee Vice Chairperson, Congressman Rufy Biazor. And U.S. President Joe Biden makes a phone call to Israel's leader, pressing for an end to the violence in the Gaza Strip. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte sounds the alarm over the presence of new COVID-19 variants in the country. In a taped address aired this morning, the president called on the government to prepare for the worst given the emergence of the new variants. The Philippines recently confirmed a dozen cases of the mutation that first emerged in India that's said to be more transmissible.
Kung medyo palapit na at marami na tinatamaan, then we will go full blast in making everything operational. Then ang hindrance is really how much we can spare. But wala itong limit pag tao na eh. I said, baka magkatotoo sabi ko, pagbili ko talaga yung mga propiedad ng gobyerno kasi pawala na yung pera. We have spent maybe mag-abot lahat yan at on the final counting, mga almost a trillion.
President Duterte wants Filipinos who are well off to postpone their COVID-19 vaccinations so the poor can get theirs first. The president says those who live in subdivisions have more ways to protect themselves from the virus compared to those who live in the slums. And he also says people cannot be picky when it comes to the vaccine brands.
Karamihan yung meron, naghihintay ng mga US, Moderna, Pfizer. Sabi ko, hindi mangyari yan. Kung ano ang nasa harap ninyo, kay mamilyonaryo ka o mahirap ka, yun na yung iyo. Wala ka ng, hindi ka mamili. Ang mamili si Secretary Galvez. And Secretary Galvez will make the distribution with a blind eye sa brand. The only reason is ayaw ko magkaroon ng storya na may pinapaboran kami na itong wala.
The Philippines needs to vaccinate at least 16 million people in the top priority sectors to contain the spread of COVID-19 in the country. That's according to Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. So far, the country has administered over 3 million vaccine doses.
Pagka po nabakunahan po natin yung A1, A2 at saka A3, yun po ang tinatawag nating containment. Na-contain na natin yung hospitalization, na-contain na rin po natin yung contamination sa mga vulnerable person. At pagka nakuha natin kaagad yung population na 16 million ng A1 to A3, malaki po ang pag-asa po natin na hindi na po tayo magkakaroon ng tinatawag nating lockdown. Kasi kayang-kaya na po ng hospital natin.
Galvez also says the vaccination of the fourth and fifth priority sectors or the economic frontliners and the indigent population could start by the end of this month.
Marami po mga business sector at saka po yung rin po sa COVAX. na dapat buksan na po natin talaga yung A4 at saka yung A5. Na kailangan yung bakuna, unahin natin ang mahihirap. Yung sa Senate, ganun din po ang ano nila na mag-open up na tayo sa A4 at saka sa A5. Para mawala na rin po yung agam-agam. Pagka po yung A5, nag-ano na po tayo, wala pong agam-agam na yung AstraZeneca mag-expire kasi marami po tayong A5.
The Philippine Red Cross sets the record straight on its reported plan to sell Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. See, on Monday, news outlets reported that Philippine Red Cross Chairman Senator Richard Gordon supposedly announced the agency will be selling Moderna's drug for 3,500 pesos. In a statement, Red Cross Governor Maria Carissa Cosculluela clarified the senator never announced any plan to sell the vaccines. He did, however, say that Moderna jabs procured by the Philippine Red Cross were intended for the vaccination of members and donors willing to, quote, bear the cost. She maintains Red Cross is a humanitarian organization and is not in the business of selling vaccines. According to the World Health Organization, the world has reached a situation of vaccine apartheid. This as high-income countries, which only account for 15% of the global population, have cornered 45% of the world's vaccine supply. The WHO now calling on vaccine manufacturers to create more doses for the WHO's COVAX facility following the supply shortfall on account of the export disruptions in India.
So far, we have shipped more than 63 million doses of vaccine to 124 countries and economies. But that represents just 0.5% of the combined population of those countries and economies. The problem is not getting vaccines out of COVAX. The problem is getting them in. Cases and deaths from COVID-19 globally remain at or near record highs. And new variants threaten to unravel the gains we have made. The basic problem is a lack of sharing. So the solution is more sharing.
Amid that WHO statement, the U.S. finally announces plans on how it will share its excess vaccines with other nations. President Joe Biden says he will send out at least 20 million doses by the end of June. Among the brands being sent out are Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. That's on top of plans to give out 60 million doses of AstraZeneca's jabs since the drug isn't authorized for use in the U.S. The jabs will be coursed through the WHO's COVAX facility.
We know America will never be fully safe until the pandemic that's raging globally is under control. No oceans wide enough, no walls high enough to keep us safe. Rampant disease and death in other countries can destabilize them, those countries, and pose a risk to us as well. New variants could arise overseas that could put us at greater risk. And we need to help fight the disease around the world to keep us safe here at home and to do the right thing of helping other people. It's the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do. It's the strong thing to do.
In a tweet, the World Health Organization's head thanked the U.S. for its move, saying solidarity is the only way to save lives and livelihoods everywhere. As hospitals in India continue to get overwhelmed by the surge in COVID-19 cases, some villages there are finding creative ways to care for those struck by the virus. More in this report.
There are cows grazing everywhere. The sick are laying under a tree, and their glucose strips are hanging from the branches. This is a village in northern India that's been engulfed by COVID-19. There's no doctor or medical facility in Mavalagopagar in the state of Uttar Pradesh. The closest hospital has no beds, and the villagers can't afford private care. So instead, villagers who practice a form of alternative medicine have set up an open-air clinic where they distribute their own remedies. The tree is an example. It's called a neem tree, which does have some uses in medicine. The villagers hope that by sitting underneath it, it will raise their oxygen levels. But there's no scientific basis for this belief. Sanjay Singh's father is believed to have died of COVID-19.
People have no option but to go to quack doctors. This is leading to deaths in the village. When a proper doctor won't have a look at the patient, where else will they go? There is no scope for getting oxygen, such is the situation. When patients get out of breath, they go to the trees to improve their oxygen levels.
The country's devastating second wave of infections continues to bring hospitals in big cities to breaking point. And rural areas are faring even worse as healthcare facilities are threadbare there. In this village, people are just making do as best they can.
In other news, a former Philippine defense minister and a longtime politician backing President Duterte's moves on the West Philippine Sea issue against China. Juan Ponce Enrile, the country's defense chief during the Marcos dictatorship and former Senate president, praised Duterte for his friendly approach despite China's aggression in the contested area. Enrile also advised Duterte to just ignore his critics.
Mr. President. You are answerable only to history for your foreign policy.
Yes, sir.
Only history will judge you. And I think that history will judge you very well. If I were in your place, I would have done the same thing. We have no choice except to negotiate with China. Assuming there's no dispute about our right over exclusive economic exploitation of our West Philippine Sea asset. Still, we need foreign money to make it a source of wealth for the country. Now, our choice at that point will be either go to Europe and get technology and capital to explore the energy resources of our economic zone in West Philippine Sea, or deal directly with China. China is one of the best energy explorers now.
Enrile, however, disagreed with Duterte, who again downplayed the country's arbitral victory against China, calling it meaningless. Enrile said the victory is not a waste, but he also admitted it would be pointless to bring up the issue to the United Nations.
Palagay ko nakarehistro yung decision na yun sa record ng UN. Alam nila yun. Ang karapatan natin nanggaling din sa UN Convention of the Law of the Sea. Kaya ano pang kailangan resolution ng UN para malunasan yung sigalot na yan para sa atin? Palagay ko kahit na may resolution ng UN, hindi naman maipapatupad ng UN yung resolution nila. Wala silang police force. Wala namang world government na kagaya ng istruktura natin sa ating bansa.
A former Senate President Enrile also questioning America's role in the West Philippine Sea dispute between the Philippines and China. He believes the U.S. was partly to blame when the Philippines supposedly lost its hold in Scarborough Shoal. Enrile now saying the Philippines cannot really rely on the U.S. despite an existing defense treaty.
Ang impression ko bagay, parang ginamit lang tayo doon sa bagay na yun. Hanggang ngayon, hindi ko masagot kung bakit yung mediator natin ay hindi tayo tinulungan para tumupad naman ang China para doon sa kasunduan na umatras sila. Kaya ngayon, sila ang nakapwesto doon. Kung aasa tayo sa tulong ng Amerika, lalo na ngayon, magulo sila sa Amerika at marami silang problema. Nandiyan ang problema sa Gaza. Palagay ko, kahit napupunta tayo sa UN, mag-iisyo ng resolusyon ang UN, aasahan ng UN na magpapairal noon Amerika din o yung may mga kakayahan. At palagay ko sa panahon na ito, walang bansa na pwedeng makaya ang China.
Enrile also took a swipe at former Senator Antonio Trillanes, who was tapped by then-President Noynoy Aquino for back-channel talks with Beijing. The former Senate President says Trillanes' actions at that time were questionable.
Binigyan ako ng sulat ni Ambassador Brady natin sa China na nagre-reklamo na itong si Trillanes ay binabay pa siya. Yung pala, si Trillanes ay pasok at labas sa China na tila hindi na dumadaan sa immigration dahil inuutosan yata siya ni Presidente Aquino. Kaya sinabihan ko sila na dapat huwag natin gawin yun sapagkat bansa ang nauukol dito.
Presidential Chief Legal Advisor Salvador Panelo also slams those criticizing President Duterte's stance on the West Philippine Sea issue. Panelo believes Duterte's critics are just seeking attention and hoping for media mileage because of the upcoming national elections.
Unang-una, kahit na anong sabihin nyo, binabaluktot po nila Binabaluktot nila. O gaya, halimbawa, ito pong si dating Justice Scarpio, abay, nag-petition siya. At sabi niya, kailangan si Presidente Duterte iurong yung mga sinabi niya sapagat ito'y labag sa interest. Pero nung tinignan ko yung mga pinapaurong niya sa inyo, abay, walang batayan. Sabi niya, kailangan sabihin niya na yung sinabi niyo, isang kaperasong papel, iurong niyo daw doon. Eh, hindi niya ho naiintindihan. Talagang binaluktot niya nga. Sapagat ang sinasabi niyo, yan ay isang kapirasong papel yung pagpapanalo sa kanila. Napapansin ko, parang gusto lang nila na magpahayag. Hindi lang para maging politically relevant, kundi para makita nila yung mga pangalan nila sa dyaryo, mabanggit sa mga balita. Bakit kanyo? Eh kasi eleksyon na, tatakbo. Kailangan ng awareness. Kailangan mapag-usapan kake, tama o mali.
Former Philippine Senator Antonio Trillanes fires back at the accusations of former Senate President Enrile. He says there's nothing irregular with his role in the back-channel talks between Manila and Beijing during the 2012 standoff at the Scarborough Shoal. Trillanes also calls Enrile an inventor of fake news.
Nag-import pa si Duterte kagabi ng pinresent niya na parang eksperto, no, si JPE. Pero alam niyo, lumabas na parehas silang pro-China, no? So hinila lang niya si JPE para i-reinforce yung kanyang posisyon na practically yun nga, isuko yung posisyon natin dyan sa Julian Felipe Reef. At sabi ko, no, para lang sa mga kababayan natin na nakalimot ng konti kung ano ba si Enrile sa Philippine politics. Eh, itong tao po na ito, talagang notorious. Ika nga, kung may tinatawag na inventor ng fake news, ito na yon. Ginawa ko po yung trabaho ko. Yan po yan. Wala po akong binypass na kung sino.
Meanwhile, some Philippine senators are calling on the Duterte administration to take a tougher stance against China. For Senator Francis Pangilinan, while a diplomatic approach to the West Philippine Sea issue is preferred, it should not appear as though the Philippines is surrendering its territories to China. He adds the Philippines should take a page out of Indonesia and Vietnam's playbook when it comes to protecting its territories.
Tayo, inuuna natin yung utang ng loob sa China, pero yung mga kapakanan ng ating mga mangingisda, hindi natin ipinagtatanggol. Hindi tama yun. There's one thing, it's one thing to be friendly and diplomatic. It's another thing to be subservient. China is the aggressor here. Pero bakit ang binabatikos eh US? China is occupying key areas in our exclusive economic zone. Vietnam and Indonesia have shown the way na hindi naman kinakailangan girahin, pero pwedeng manindigan.
For Senator Panfilo Lacson, while negotiations with China should not be abandoned, other options to resolve the issue should also be considered. He says the Philippines should build stronger alliances with other countries that can help advance its national interests. Well, let's get another reaction to the statement made by former Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile and palace officials on the West Philippine Sea issue. We now have joining us via Zoom House National Defense and Security Committee Vice Chairperson, Congressman Rufy Biaso. And Congressman, nice to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Carmina, and thank you very much for inviting me.
All right, you've seen it, you've heard it, this one-on-one between the former Senate President and President Rodrigo Duterte. Is it really a lost cause, as how they presented it to be, that you cannot afford to irritate and agitate China as you speak? Go ahead, Congressman.
Well, we believe that it's not a lost cause. It's an important cause for us to keep on fighting for our rights, which we earned at the international stage. And we've seen China deal with other countries who they have their own rifts with, but they continue to have at least decent diplomatic relations. And I believe we can also do that while at the same time pursuing the interests of the country.
There was a point. Go ahead.
Yes, we must learn from the past, wherein we saw that it is China's objective to inch by inch gain dominance in that area, regardless of how long it will take and how many administrations that they will have to deal with. That has always been their objective. So if we relent on our stand on this, sooner or later, we'll lose more control of that area.
The topic last night was, of course, the West Philippine Sea issue. But jumping off from what Senator Francis Pangilinan said in a previous interview, the issue here is China. And yet they were talking about the U.S. last night. And the United States has several times said that it would uphold the mutual defense treaty with the Philippines and support Southeast Asian countries in the way that they're resisting Beijing's pressure in the South China Sea. But then you had the statement coming from the former Senate president saying that the MDT between the Philippines and the U.S., that's not going to cover what is happening in the West Philippine Sea. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I know where the former Senate president is coming from, because in the letter of the law or of the agreement, the mutual defense treaty, it speaks of the Pacific. But what would matter is what the United States is saying now. And as recent as last April, between the talks between Secretary Blinken and Secretary Loxin, it was reiterated by the Biden administration that as far as they're concerned, implementation or coverage of the mutual defense treaty would include the South China Sea and West Philippine Sea. And they reiterated their commitment to the Philippines. So between Senator Enrile and Secretary Loxin, of course, the more current would be Secretary Loxin. He was in talks with the U.S. Counterparts. So we should be holding on to that word of the United States right now.
But Congressman, those are mere words. If anything does happen, and the U.S. does move in, wouldn't they be violative of the letters of the MDT?
Well, the agreement is between the United States and the Philippines. So one party can always make adjustments. It's an agreement just between the Philippines and America. And if America says we can make a move, which is what they are saying now, then we can say that they have just given their interpretation of how the agreement would be put into effect.
But shouldn't that be...
But your point is right. So perhaps it is really time also for the Philippines and the United States to review the 70-year-old agreement. Because we must remember that the agreement was done in 1951, just six years after the World War and coming into the Cold War. So that's 70 years ago. Times have changed. The geopolitics has changed. And probably That's one step that we can take moving into the future.
Because you cannot just rely on how the U.S. interprets the treaty for both nations.
I agree with you with that. We're just fortunate that the Biden administration is now saying that. So perhaps it is one opportunity that we can take, that we could try to get a renegotiation or an amendment to the agreement, to update the agreement. After all, it is a 70-year-old agreement as of now.
I want to get your thoughts on what transpired last night, this one-on-one between JPE and President Duterte. What do you think will be the ramifications of that broadcast, wherein they said that, number one, the MDT really won't hold any water with this one, and sort of presenting, as I said earlier, that this is a lost cause, that the Philippines must not be in a position where it agitates China. What do you think are the ramifications of that?
My concern here is what exactly is the weight carried by the advice of Senator Enrile, who is out of government. He is in retirement. Because if we match his statements with the position and statements that have been recently given by the Secretary of Foreign Affairs and the Secretary of Defense, we can say that it runs counter to the positions of the two incumbent officials. Mm. So which person or which advice should the president heed? Because it's been quite clear that both Secretary Locsin and Secretary Lorenzana are pushing for the Philippines to assert itself, particularly on its rights over its exclusive economic zone. Mm-hmm. So my concern there is that when Senator Enrile advised not to listen to any other person, would that mean that the advice of Secretary Locsin and Secretary Lorenzana would be set aside? Yeah. If there was a gag order given, would it cover the two gentlemen who are well within their mandates when they give out their views or positions on the matter?
Which brings me to this next question. Who was that broadcast for? For whom was that broadcast? Clearly, they're sending out a message here. For why else would they put up that show? A lot of people are watching this. And if we're talking about concerns here, what concerns you the most about the messaging that was broadcast last night, Congressman?
Yeah, well, for me, my concern was the advice of Senator Enrile to somehow ease up on our position with regard to the West Philippine Sea.
Yeah,
it is my view that we don't have to go to war. We shouldn't push ourselves to the brink, but we should at least assert ourselves. And I think what we're doing right now, the maritime patrols, the aerial the overflights that we do, and we are challenging the Chinese who are inside our exclusive economic zone is good enough. I would say we can just sustain that, and. For me, the important thing, the message should be considered by us in Congress, both the House and the Senate, is how much resources are we willing to put into this effort, not just now, but into the future. Because in order for us to continue asserting ourselves, if we really value the rights that have been awarded to us, then we should be prepared to build our capability. And that means increasing our capability to conduct those patrols and put out vessels in the areas that are supposed to be ours and protect our fishermen who are going out there.
But, you know, even before the arbitral award, even before this administration, both the Senate and the lower house, you guys had the chance to put in the money where it is needed to make sure those patrols happened. What do you think happened there? Why wasn't that done?
Well, it's difficult to say. For me, as far as a member of the House of Representatives, I've been consistent in that messaging. But of course, we know that the House is made up of 300 plus representatives and all with differing views. That's why I feel that my part in the House right now is try to stir up the interest in the matter. In fact, I filed a resolution when the Chinese militia vessels massed at Whitsun Reef or in Julian Felipe Reef. I'm awaiting a favorable response by my colleagues in supporting that resolution.
Let's keep it real, though, Congressman Byatson. You do know that the president enjoys a supermajority there at the House of Representatives. And with the president, their principal, saying these things, do you think they will back such a resolution coming from you?
Well, real talk is I'm not too confident. Of course, a lot of members of the House take their cue from what the president says. That's why we just keep on raising the matter in the hopes that others would catch on. I hope this is not painted as an election gimmick or something, because it is really an issue that should be discussed come 2022. I actually believe that presidential candidates should take this on as an issue. Because it is a long-term, it's going to be a long-term issue for us. Yeah. And obviously, the United States, for example, who has also some interest here, has taken it on as a long-term program for them. They have the Indo-Pacific initiative, and they're putting in resources to ensure that there is freedom of navigation in that area. So we see this as a long-term issue. And we are right in the middle of it. So we should not just simply set it aside.
And talking about being in the middle of it, Congressman, you said in a previous interview that you believe that the Philippines is stepping up right now to tell the world that we are concerned about what's happening in the West Philippine Sea, but we have some sort of handicap militarily, and that is why engaging in these alliances and concerned parties would be a boost. That's what you said in a recent interview. But with what happened last night, and with the recent statements of the Foreign Affairs Secretary, of the Defense Chief, being in conflict with what the Commander-in-Chief is saying, where does this leave the Filipino public, being in the middle of it all?
Well, there are just several months left in the administration. That's why I was saying that if this matter should become an issue and come 2022, because the people would make themselves heard. If there are candidates out there who take a vote, who voice out their position on the matter, those who would be selecting the new leader in 2022 would have that choice, whether to support somebody who has a more assertive stance or somebody who would continue the friendly relations with China. I don't see a drastic change in the direction we're heading to now. But I think come 2022, that should become a matter that could be decided on by the people.
All right, Congressman Rufy Byatson, we're going to have to leave it at that. We appreciate you joining us here on the show. Thanks again. You keep safe and take care.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, U.S. President Joe Biden pushes for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas militants. And we'll tell you all about a miraculous survival story amid the violence that's happening in the Gaza Strip. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Even the president's former schoolmates from San Beda, well, they're asking him to retract his statements on the country's maritime dispute with China. They say Duterte must take back his claim that China is in possession of the West Philippine Sea. One of those who signed that petition by San Beda alumni is former Land Transportation and Franchising Regulatory Board Chairman, Attorney Winston Hines. He now joins us via Zoom. Attorney Hines, welcome to the program and thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right. Let's
thank you for inviting us. And in behalf of the signatories of our fraternal statement of concern, Maraming salamat po for this opportunity.
Okay, let's talk about that statement first and foremost. What made you, what was the trigger that you and your former schoolmates had to draft this statement addressed to the president, Attorney Hines?
Well, as Bedans, that we believe that truth must prevail. So we all believe that the president is, in a way, stating facts, facts that are not in accordance with what is really the truth. And therefore, as Bedans, as his fellow alumni, we felt that it was time for us to speak and come out and boldly say that, Mr. President, you have to retract these statements that you have made, which are not in accordance with what's happening on the ground.
Well, we're going to talk about what happened last night, this show with Senator, former Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile, talking to President Duterte in a moment. But before we get into that, I want to discuss with you what the presidential Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo also said, that the president should ignore his critics. It all has something to do with 2022 elections. Former Senate President JP also said that, just ignore the critics. What sense do you make out of those statements, Attorney Hines?
Well, I basically and vehemently disagree with the statement of Presidential Counsel Salvador Panelo that it's all for election. Well, for us, specifically Bedans, we are just ordinary alumni speaking to him as a fellow Bedan alumni. We do not have any agenda, any election propaganda, and we believe that he must now stand up for the truth and say what should be for the interest of our Filipino nation. Especially, I'm from Zambales, and my fellow Zambalino fisher folks are affected by what's happening in Panatag Shoal. And that's why, even in my own capacity as president of IBP Zambales chapter, we had issued yesterday a statement of concern for the president to retract his statements.
So this is not just about disagreeing with what the president is saying. This is something bigger than that, Attorney Hines.
Yes, of course. We don't just disagree with him, but we want him to lead our country to fight for what is ours, and to protect our exclusive economic zone and our territory. He must uphold what the Constitution says, that our maritime wealth should be for the exclusive use, benefit, and enjoyment of our countrymen. And what he is doing, to our belief, ma'am, is unbelievable, really. It was his campaign promise to fight for us, but what's happening? That's our question. So it's not just disagreeing with him, but we want him to do what he should do under our Constitution.
What do you think of what Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile said last night, that the president is only answerable to history, and that he believes history will judge him well? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I heard that, and I disagree with Manong Johnny on this matter, that history will be favorable on the president. That's not true. We know what's happening, and if he don't act now, then history will badly judge him, and that's our own take. And given this opportunity now, the snowballing of support for our fraternal statement of concern, we are actually planning to form a bigger group in San Beda, which we will call Bangon Bidista, ma'am, in order that all Bedans of all batches from grade school, high school, college, College of Law, Medicine, and graduate school will be with us in this fight for our country.
what happened last night, you know, that could have taken place in a quiet room, quiet corner, just a one-on-one between the two of them. But they had to broadcast it and bring it before the people. Why do you think that was so? What do you think is the reason behind that show?
I think I really also wondering what was the purpose of the show last night. And two people, the president and as Congressman Biazon said, a retired politician on his retirement speaking. I don't know what they would like to show and what was the message, but I think it was a fail. It was a fail show. And unfortunately, lots of government time, money, and attention was spent for nothing.
Let me ask you this, Attorney Hines. Do you think that with all these statements and actions coming from the president that he is, in fact, committing an impeachable offense?
Well, ma'am, I think the statement of the president is still not for our country. He should listen, I think, and I suggest that to his own people, like the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs, and not to anyone like a retired Manong Johnny, really.
Okay, let me just go back to the statement that you made so we can go full circle. The statement is you're calling for him to retract his public statement that China is in possession of the West Philippine Sea, retract his declaration that the arbitral award is a mere scrap of paper, and categorically, demonstrably, and publicly uphold the mandate of our Philippine Constitution, that the state shall protect the nation's marine wealth in its archipelagic waters, territorial sea, and exclusive economic zone, and reserve its use and enjoyment exclusively to Filipino citizens. At the end of your statement, Attorney Hines, you said that this fraternal appeal is respectfully made in answer to the clarion call for San Beda, our country, and God. So let me ask you this, Attorney Hines. If the president does not heed your appeal, what does that tell you?
If the president will not do what we are respectfully asking him to do, then we will respect that one. We will not push through and call as of now, for his resignation. But we were glad that in yesterday's media briefing, a presidential spokesperson, Secretary Roque, already said that some of the statements of the president were wrong and they were a mistake. And for that event, even for that alone, where the presidential spokesperson had recognized, then our purpose was already upheld and met. And we are happy for that there was an admission that there was a mistake. And we hope that in the future, in the immediate future, the president will be presidential enough in his statements, Madam Carmina.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Attorney Winston Hines, thank you for joining us today. He's, of course, one of those who drafted this appeal to the president, a fraternal statement of concern from the fellow Beden alumni urging President Duterte to retract his public statements on the West Philippine Sea and uphold the Philippine Constitution. Attorney Hines, thanks
thank
for joining
us. Thank you very much, Paul. And again, thanks for the opportunity.
Appreciate it as well. Thanks again. Keep safe. And moving on with the rest of the news this afternoon. News overseas now. The U.S. backs calls for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas militants as the escalating violence in Gaza entered a second week. The White House says U.S. President Joe Biden made that appeal during a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden also urged Israel to ensure the protection of civilians as the fighting continues. But he fell short of demanding an immediate end to the violence. Biden is facing growing pressure from lawmakers in his own Democratic Party to play a more vocal role in the conflict, which has left at least 200 people dead, including 61 children in Gaza. A six-year-old Palestinian girl rescued from the rubble of her home, which is wrecked by an Israeli strike. Her mother and all four of her siblings did not survive the attack. More in this report.
A six-year-old Palestinian girl was found deep inside a pile of rubble on Sunday after her home in Gaza City was hit by an Israeli airstrike. Susie Eshkuntano was trapped under the debris for 7 hours. Her mother and all four of her siblings were killed. She was rushed to Shifa Hospital and reunited with her father, Riyad Eshkuntano.
I ran to check up on the girls. My wife jumped. She hugged the girls and took them out of the room. Then a second airstrike hit the room. I could feel the ceilings were destroyed, and I was left under the rubble. The last moment I saw my wife, I saw that she threw herself on the floor, and the concrete fell on her head. We didn't think that the ceilings and walls would fall.
The Palestinian family's home was in the same area as an Israeli strike on a militant tunnel system in Gaza. The military said the collapse of the tunnel system caused the houses above to collapse and led to unintended civilian casualties.
I was under the rubble. I was stuck in a place. My hand was under a pole and my legs under another pole. I was in a bad situation. I heard my son Zain calling, "Daddy, Daddy." His voice was okay, but I couldn't turn to look at him because I was trapped. Then I started to say, "God, God."
Israel says it's attacking Hamas, which, along with other militant groups, has fired thousands of rockets towards Israeli cities. Those rockets have killed Israelis and sent millions scrambling to safe rooms and shelters across the country. As for Susie, doctors say she is bruised but has no severe injuries.
I was filled with all the anger of the universe. But when I heard that one of my daughters was alive, I said, "Thank God, because this girl might capture some, even a little, of my other daughter's smiles, because she was their sister."
What an amazing story right there. Moving now to some sports action. The New York City Marathon is back. A limited field of 33,000 runners will be at the starting line for the 50th running of the New York City Marathon on November 7. Participants will be required to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test or a vaccination card. The annual event was canceled last year due to the pandemic. The 26.2-mile race is hugely popular with amateur runners and professionals alike. It saw a record 53,627 finishers in 2019. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.